You don't rest when you're laboring. You're resting when you are reaping the fruit of what you have not labored for. Jesus made a very strong statement. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored.
Welcome to Harvest Family Church. We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. Our prayer is that you would accept this seed of God's word in order to reap from the finished work of Jesus. Join us now for today's segment.
So a lot of things that we covered, a lot of things within the last week, between last Wednesday and Friday, and then Sunday again, and then again today. We've covered a lot of ground about that which is of the flesh and that which is of the spirit, right? So the Lord teaches us that which is of the flesh is flesh, right, and that which is of the spirit is spirit. So there is no way, and I hope that helps us. You know, just giving you a little background, just for the sake of where we're going today. I believe that. That there is no way that flesh can ever produce spirit, and no way that ever anything that the Spirit of God does is ever fleshly. Okay, so if you hear that and you learn that, the flesh cannot produce spirit, right? The flesh cannot produce spirit. Actually, the Bible says that the Spirit quickens, or the Spirit gives life, right? The Spirit gives life, and the flesh, it profits us nothing. The flesh profits nothing. Why? Because the only one that can give life is the Spirit of God. But our flesh, in other words, our fleshly attempts, our will, our doing, our trying to fix, our trying to heal, our trying to make better, our trying to fix relationships, us trying to fix circumstances, us trying to fix our finances, our trying to fix all of those things don't give life to any of those things, because only the Spirit can give life, and the flesh, the Bible says, not I say, but the Bible says, the flesh profits nothing, right? So we know that what the Lord came to do is, and if you read Hebrews 3 and 4, you read about the rest of God, you read that the only thing that kept the people out of the promised land was unbelief. And that if they would have put their faith in God, there was a rest that remained for them, that remains for God's people, the Lord says, right? A rest that remains for God's people if we would believe. And you notice that the rest for God's people, because understand, right? Rest comes after victory. You don't rest if there's work to do. You rest after the work is finished. You don't rest before victory, you rest after victory. You don't rest before the work is done, you rest after the work is done. So what the Lord is teaching us there, if He tells us that there is a rest that remains, it says Joshua did not give his people rest, right? Was not able to give his people rest, but there is a rest that remains for the people of God. So when we rest, when we declare, right, when our flesh is at rest, when your body is at rest, when your will is at rest, when the will of man, we said, and we'll come back to that in a second, the will of man produces the will of man, right? The Spirit of God produces the will of God, right? You know, it's presumptuous, right? It's presumptuous. It's thinking highly of ourselves. And that's actually what the Bible says, that we ought not to think highly of ourselves. And let me show you that verse. Let me show you that verse real quick. Romans, let's look at that real quick. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, and then we'll read down to verse number 3. But I read it with you here. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. Let's do that. Okay, so it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That we went through that, right? Normally a sacrifice is dead. The Lord, when He's talking about a living sacrifice there, right? So a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there's the work, right? The renewing of our mind. That's our work, right? The renewing of our mind. It says, be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that you may prove. Now stop there for a second so you can see that. So that you can prove. So verse 2 says, as you renew your mind, you prove. And that word prove is to test and know that it is genuine, right? to test and know that it is genuine. So as you renew your mind, right, you're transformed, right? Your life is transformed, your body is transformed, right? All of your life and all that surrounds you, right, is transformed by the renewing of your mind. It says that as you renew your mind, you may prove or you may show it as genuine, truly, what is really good and acceptable. What is that good, acceptable, and perfect what? Will of God. People are trying to do what? Be in the center of the will of God. They're trying to do the will of God. I mean, just that thing alone, and we've been looking at that, and the more I say it, the more silly it sounds. That people want to do the will of God. How can people do the will of God? Right? If it's the will of God, then it's the will of God, and only flesh produces flesh, spirit produces spirit. Only the Spirit of God in us can produce the will of God. Moses did the will of God, right? Nothing that Moses did Moses do, right? Because Moses could not do what he did, right? Nothing when Joshua led the armies and the wall of Jericho came down, Joshua and the army did not bring the wall of Jericho down, right? But the commander of the Lord's army brought the wall of Jericho down. In other words, the Lord brought that wall down. The men did not do it. What did they do? They walked around for 6 days in faith. On the seventh day, they shouted a cry of victory. And the wall came down. What does that symbolize, right? If you look at it, the rest of men in faith and the victory that God does, right? The will of God being done. That was the wall of Jericho, right? The walls coming down, right, was of the will of God and not of the will of men. So it's interesting that even you being born again, right? Even you knowing the Lord, what does it say? That you were born again not of the will of men, but of the will of God, right? You were born not of the will of men, but of the will of God. Another thing, right? The Lord tells us, and we went over this, but it's so good to remember, right? He says that of all that are born of women, John the Baptist is the greatest, right? But notice what it said, right? Of all born of women, John the Baptist is the greatest, right? But the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So why is that? Because of all that are born of women, or like the Bible says, born of men. Obviously, men don't have babies, right? So it's the same idea, born of men, born of women. Of those born of men, John the Baptist was the greatest. And right at the edge of John the Baptist began what? Right? Jesus Christ, right? So what he's saying there is that of those born of men, right? And born of the will of men, John the Baptist was the greatest, right? But of those that are born of the Spirit, even the least in the kingdom of God that is born of the Spirit is greater than John the Baptist, who wasn't even saved, right? And we know that he wasn't even saved, because John the Baptist himself, he prepared the way of the Lord, and you can't be saved before the cross, right? Can't be saved before the cross. John the Baptist, right, knew the Lord before the cross. So obviously he was not saved. And even in his task that he was given to do from prison, what did he do? He doubted, right? And he said to the Lord, he said, are you the one, or should we look for another? So obviously he was in doubt that was even the Lord Jesus, right? Well, not that he was the Lord Jesus, but that he was the Messiah. He was in doubt that he was even the Messiah. So here it says that you may prove by the renewing of your mind, which is the work that God gives us to do, right? He doesn't. He calls us, listen, he says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting all your care upon the Lord. What does he say there? He says, casting all of your care upon the Lord, because he cares for you. Right? So isn't it awesome that that the Lord doesn't call us to care for our life, right? But to renew your mind, right? To renew your mind is the work that he gives us to do. So he says in verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, that you may test as genuine what is the good, acceptable, and perfect, what? Will of God. So how is the will of God brought to pass? The will of God is brought to pass, right, in our lives by the Lord as we do what? As we renew our mind. Now watch this now. Watch this so you can see how good this gets. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Right? Ephesians chapter 5. And look at just Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse number 8. Verse number 8, right? So we're coming into this, right? And keep those things in your mind because it's so good, right? That the flesh produces flesh. The Spirit produces Spirit. Only the Spirit can give life. Only the Spirit can do the will of God, right? And can I say something? That's why the Lord taught us to pray, right? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? Why do you have to pray that? Because you can't do His will. So you pray that His will be done. Why? Because you can't do His will. So the way that the will of God is done is by the Spirit of God. And everything that the Spirit of God does, He does by the will of God. Everything that the Spirit of God does, He does by the will of God. But He works in our life, right? Through the knowledge of Christ. Grace, in Peter he says, right? Grace and peace are multiplied unto us in the knowledge of Christ. The grace of God. The unmerited power of God. The presence of God, the gifts of God, all of those things, the Spirit of grace, all those things are multiplied unto us in the knowledge of Christ, right? That's why that's the yoke and the burden that is easy and light that the Lord gives us, right? Renewing our mind, having a heart stayed on Him. David was a king, right? And what did he love about David? Not that he was perfect, but that he had a heart after God. Right? A man after God's own heart, right? A man after God's own heart. So look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8. It says, for ye were sometimes darkness. Thank God that we're not darkness now. Used to be darkness, but we're not darkness now, right? Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8. Is that what I said? That's good? Yeah. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So you know what you can say? Lord, I am light in you. Now why are you light? Because you know. Why is the world in darkness? Because they don't know. Right? Why are you light? Because you know. It's been given to you to know. It's been gifted to you by God and His Spirit to know. Now watch this. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So He says you are already light. Right? So He says, so walk as children of light. And then watch what He sticks right in there all of a sudden. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So why did He just stick that in there? Right? So He says, you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And then in verse number 10, He says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So watch this, right? In verse number 8, it says, you were sometimes darkness. That means there was a time where you did not know God and you were ignorant of His covenant. And then it says, but now you're light in the Lord, meaning you know the Lord, right? And the Lord, the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you. That's why we're light, because we have the light of the world on the inside of us, right? He says, you are light in the Lord. And then He says, walk as children of light. And then He tells you how you walk as a child of the light, right? Children of light are fruitful. Right? That's how a child of the light walks. He walks in the fruitfulness of the Spirit of God. So if a child of the light, right, which we are children of light, the Bible calls us, right? If we walk in love, who is loving? If we walk in love, who is the one that is loving? It's not you. Because that's why He says the fruit of... He didn't say the fruit of Jose, right? Or the fruit of Miss Kim, right? He said the fruit of the Spirit. Because why? So just think about this for a second, right? Regardless of what you've heard, nobody even cares ever what anybody has ever heard. It's what the Word of God says, right? Who can produce the fruit of the Spirit? The Spirit. Right? Because that's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit and not the fruit of human beings, right? But the fruit of the Spirit. So He says, walk as a child of the light. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, and there are none that are good. Men in and of themselves are not good. There are none that are good. There are none that seek God. There are none that do right. There are none that are righteous, right? So look at where the fruit of the Spirit lives. In all goodness, which comes from the Father, right? All goodness is in Christ. We know that, right? Every good and every perfect gift comes from our Father above, right? With whom there is no shadow of turning. So He says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. Look at what else? Righteousness, which is not ours, right? We're the righteousness of God in Christ. So look at where the fruit of the Spirit lives. In all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And who is the truth, right? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, right? So He says, walk then as children of light, because the Spirit of God lives in you, and you will be fruitful through Him. That's how you walk as a child of the light. And here's, let me just show you this too. If Jesus Christ is the light, right? He said, I am the light of the world. John declared that the Lord says about John the Baptist that he was not the light, but he testified about him who is the light in John chapter 1, right? So here's the good thing. If you know that he is the light, right? And the light right, is in you. Christ is in you. He lives in you, right? Christ said, me and my Father will come and make our abode in you. So you know that if you have the light, and he says to walk as children of light, who is the only one that can be manifest? How would you be able to walk in light if we don't, I mean, light is to be shown. And if you're walking in light, you're manifesting the light of God. The only one that can manifest his own light is the light, right? We can't, you know, I mean, obviously we know this, but I just say things sometimes to be facetious, to make us think, right? That you can't say, okay, Holy Spirit, shine. Holy Spirit, do this. You don't tell him what to do, right? You don't command the Spirit of God. Right? But the Bible says even the gifts of the Spirit are as the Spirit wills. So the Spirit is here. He's in us to do the will of God, not your will. Right? He's in us to do the will of God, not our will. But here's the beautiful thing, and that's why the Lord says, you know, that as we come to know Him, He brings the will of God to pass in our lives. Men can't bring the will of God to pass, but God brings His own will to pass in our lives. So let's look at, at the end of this verse actually. He says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And then look at verse number 10. Proving, the same word that we were looking at before, right? Proving, showing as is genuine, right? Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. So look at how easy this is, right? How the Lord can just break this down. That the only thing that is acceptable to the Lord is Christ. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Not because we are in Christ, right? The Lord is pleased with us, but not because we're perfect, but because we're in Christ, right? So what you see is when you walk in the light, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, it says, then you will prove that which is acceptable to the Lord. What's acceptable to God? That we would walk as children of light, bearing fruit, right? Walking as children of light, being the bride of Christ, being fruitful. Can I tell you something? Listen to me. And I know that all of these things, we don't understand them all at one time, but I'm just going to tell you this, and just you can just keep it in your heart that, you know, the will of God, what you'll find as you continue to look at what the Lord's doing in your life, the will of God is for you to be fruitful. It's so simple the way God does it, right? The will of God is for you to be fruitful. In John 15, he says that the will of God is that you would bear much fruit so that the Father may be glorified, right? That you would bear much fruit. And as you bear fruit, the Father is glorified. Why? Because what you see in the life of Jesus Christ is what? That He bore fruit. Right? What was seen, Jesus Christ has not come to do His own will, but He came to do the will of the Father, right? He said, I've not come to do my own will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. Listen to that, please, for a second. Because Christians argue that they can do the will of God. Jesus Christ said, I have not come to do my own will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. And He said, it is my Father in me who does the work. It is the Father in me who does the work. If He did not and could not, right? But it was the Father in Him doing the work through Him, right? How could we believe, yeah, you know what, Lord, You've called me to bring Your will to pass with my effort, my will, my good intentions, my good feelings, my great emotions, all of these things, right? We can't, right? Just like we can't love our enemy, we're not called, we cannot bring the will of God to pass. Now the Spirit of God in you can love your enemy. And you know why you know that's true? Because before you were born again, you cannot love your enemy. Before you were born again, you cannot have the fruit of the Spirit, which Galatians 5 says is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and temperance, right? Because it's the fruit of the Spirit, right, and not our fruit, we can't bear what the Spirit of God births in us, right? But here's the good news, right? You are a branch, right? Because He is the vine, and you are the what? The branches. We are the branches, right? So what do branches do? They bear fruit. Where does everything that they bear come from? The vine, not from the branch. It goes through the branch, and it bears fruit. But we are just branches. And it's okay to say, I'm just a branch. Because you know what? Because the one who is the vine lives in me. And that's awesome, right? That's awesome. And that's a huge difference between us and the world. And that's the awesome reason why the world needs to know, right? Why the world needs to know. So let's go ahead and go back. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5, and I'll tell you the verse in a second. All right. And we started off in verse number 8. So let's go to 8. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8. So it's just good. Stay with me, because the awesome part is the Lord says that whenever you put your faith in Him, He never disappoints. So you know what? So you come and you say, Lord, I want to know You and I want to hear from You. You know what happens? He never disappoints you, and you always hear and you leave knowing more of Him, right? Knowing more of the Lord Jesus. That's the only reason we come. So He says, for ye are were sometimes darkness, but now the Lord says, you're light in Me. You're light in Me. Walk then like you're My children, right? He says, you're light in Me, so walk like you're My children. Bear My fruit in all, which is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And verse number 10 says, proving what is acceptable to Me. You see that, right? If we put that verse, 9, 8 and 9, like it's God speaking it to you, which it should be, right? He says, you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in Me. Walk as My children, bearing the fruit, right, by My Spirit, which is in all goodness and righteousness. Righteousness and truth, right? That the Lord has given us, proving what is acceptable to Me. Right? When a child learns what's acceptable to his father, that's what he wants to do. What's acceptable to your father? The Spirit of God in you is acceptable to Him. Everything that's done by the Spirit of God is acceptable and is the will of God. And He says it's good and it's pleasing and it's perfect for Him and for you. Right? The will of God is not a scary thing, right? When the Lord does His will through you, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's pleasing, it's perfect, right? It's acceptable, it's good, all of those things for Him and for us. And He says, and have no fellowship, listen, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That doesn't mean not hanging out with thugs, right? He says, have no fellowship with unfruitful works. What is an unfruitful work? Well, if walking as a child of the light and the Spirit of God being fruitful through you, the Spirit of God being fruitful through you is fruitful. So an unfruitful work of darkness is walking like one who does not know the Lord and not being fruitful by the Spirit and just trying to do things by your flesh. The flesh is unfruitful. The flesh is unprofitable. The flesh cannot do or give to anyone anything that is everlasting, right? So in other words, right, you can see someone with a need. You can see someone in need, right, near death. The Lord can work through you to heal that individual and for them to receive life. And if they receive life and they believe in Jesus, they have everlasting life, right? That's one person, right? The fruitfulness of the Spirit of God. Another person that doesn't know the Lord comes up to that same person in need, right? Buys them new clothes, gives them a hot meal, puts money in their pocket, gives them a job, right? What's the difference, right? One has made no eternal difference. Great sentiment, great motivation, terrific way to try to go out and help somebody, right? It's just not the answer of what they needed, because they have not given them life. They've given them a sandwich, they've given them a job, and they've given them money that is the God of this world, right? But have not given them truth, have not given them life. So all the more, they are no better. Now they're still naked, sick, and poor, but just now they don't think they are. Right? Before, they were, and it was a good thing that they would come to the Lord and accept and say, I need a Savior. Right? Come from the place that they are in a pit and say, I need a Savior. Instead of now thinking, now I have a job, now I have money, now I have a hot meal, I guess now I'm not a loser. Right? But so people will identify themselves with what they have, right, of this world, and not who they have in their heart, which is whether they have the Lord or not. So you see what the difference is? Unfruitful works of darkness can look great on the outside. People give to UNICEF all the time. People feed the hungry all the time. But the Bible calls that an unfruitful work of darkness. Why? Because it's the blind leading the blind. Right? Listen. People can walk off a cliff with full bellies, right? And all happy and walk right off a cliff, right? But blind leading the blind. So the intention doesn't matter. Oh, we didn't know the cliff was there, so they walk right off the cliff. But to know that there is life. To know that there is life, and to know that even if you don't possess everything in this world, to know that you are rich and to continue to grow in the knowledge of who Christ is, and to the knowledge that He desires to prosper you in this world, right? That He desires for your needs to be met, that He wants your mortgage to be paid, that He doesn't want you caring and casting all your care like the Gentiles do, but that He desires to care for you so you don't have to concern yourself and worry about your life, but know that He's your Father and He'll take care of you. Can I tell you something? That's humility. Humility is not to look humble. Humility is to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and say, Father, I want your will in my life. I see my family. I see the situation that my marriage is in. I see my children. I see all these problems going on. I see how bad off my son is doing. I see that my extended family is doing no the better. And I know that they need to do well. I need your will to come to pass in their life. And you pray and you say, Father, your will be done in my family on this earth as it is in heaven. And if you can come to that place where you say, Lord, only you can bring your will to pass, right? You can do it through me, Lord, but I can't do it. You did it through Moses. You brought your will to pass through Elijah, through Abraham, through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and Paul, and David, and Jephthah, and Gideon, and all these great men and women of God have done great things through them. They just did not do them. If you notice all of the things that were done by great men of God, they were done through great men and women of God, but they weren't done by great men and women of God, right? Because a great man cannot split the Red Sea, right? That's not done by a man. Right? So what we want you to draw attention to is the flesh, right? The flesh can't accomplish those things, but he's given your flesh rest. Why? So he can be active in your life, right? Because why? The will of the flesh, right? They have a little saying, right, that you'll be familiar with, right? Right? Meter la pata, right? That's what the flesh does. Right? It's like sticking your foot in your mouth, right? The flesh knows how to mess things up, but it doesn't know how to do things the right way, right? But the Spirit of God, His will is perfect. His will is perfect. He does it right. He does it right. He does it right. So let's go from here. Look at what it says in verse number 10, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove. And that word reprove is interesting, right? Because we know from 2 Timothy 3:16, he says that the word of God is profitable, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, right? And he says here that the works of darkness, or the unfruitful works of the flesh, should be what? Reproved or corrected. How? The word of God does that, right? The light of the Lord. The light of the Lord, what does it do? It manifests darkness. And I'm kind of getting ahead of this verse, but look at what it says. For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved, right, are made manifest by what? By light. All things that are reproved are made manifest by light. So how do things, right, if in areas of our life we're still walking in the flesh and not walking in the Spirit in different areas of our life, how do those things get corrected? By the knowledge of Christ, right? The Word of God, the light of God in through His Word, the revelation, right, of Christ. Light is revelation, right? Light is knowing, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He said, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light, right? Whatever makes manifest is light. Only light makes things manifest. So it says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light. So what reference is it making there? It's making that to a person that is unsaved, that doesn't know the Lord. He tells them to awake from sleep. Why? Because sleep is the same thing as death, right? Sleep is the same thing as death. So he's saying, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Right? Awake you who sleep, arise from the dead. And what is he saying? Christ will give you light. Right? The revelation of Jesus can give light to people, or does give light to people that don't know, that are in darkness. Right? So when we want to help someone, watch. When we want to help someone, do you badger them over their conduct? Do you badger them over the fact that they're drug addicts, that they've been doing this wrong and that wrong? Is that how we bring people to Christ? Or is it by the gospel, preaching the gospel to them so that the darkness that is in them can be reproved or corrected or made manifest by the light, right? When you preach the gospel to someone, it's light unto them in darkness, right? So it says then, right? Let's look at it again. It says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And then look at what it says about us in verse 15. See then, it says, see then that you walk, the way it was saying before about walking the light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. knows, which is the same thing as darkness, right? Not as those that don't know, but not as fools, but as wise, as those who do know. And look at what it says here, and here's where we're going to start wrapping up in a second here. Because it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Listen, you should, when you read certain things, it's so good to ask yourself, Lord, why do you put that there? Well, why in the middle of talking about light and the revelation of Jesus and how that can save those that are in darkness, and among all of those things, right now he says here, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools or as those that don't know or that are in darkness, right, but as wise or as those that have the light, right? Why does it say to do that? And then he says in verse 16, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time, or in other words, is making a loose translation of that is like making the most of your time. So how do you do that? And what does that have to do with light and darkness? And what does that have to do with the knowledge of Christ? Making the most of your time. And look at what he says. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise. So stay with me a second here. Where he says, therefore be ye not unwise. So in not having the wisdom of Christ, time is not redeemed. And we'll define the redemption of time in a second. But look at what he says. Redeem the time, therefore don't be unwise. So if you put those two things together, what he's saying is, if you're unwise, you cannot redeem the time. Right? So we'll talk about what the redemption of time is in a second. But if you're unwise, you can't redeem the time. But he says above here, but be wise. So at the top of verse 15, we be wise, redeem the time, don't be unwise, right? So look at what he says. Don't be unwise. He says, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And just edge up for me a little bit there, Andre. Don't go to Tyler the next page, but just bring us up maybe all the way up to verse 15. So look at what it says there. It says then in verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So we're coming back to what we were saying about the will of God, right? So stay with me a second. He's talking about being wise, right? Wise with the wisdom of Christ. Christ is to us wisdom, right? So be wise. And then he says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So there is a redemption of time that we're called to do, right? Making the most of time. Right? And then he says, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So an individual that understands the will of God can redeem time. We're going to explain the redemption of time in a second. But being wise is knowing the will of God. Now watch this. And be not drunk with wine. Right? So what does the church use that for? To beat up on people who drink. But that's not the purpose of that, right? Because if they knew the real meaning of that, they would not beat up on people who drink, right? Because the idea here is, don't be drunk with wine, which is in excess, right? Now watch this. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, or that word excess is dissipation, which is taking a possession or time and misusing it, right? Taking a possession or time and misusing it, right? So just stay with it, right? Stay with me a second. So don't be drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now this is where the rubber meets the road right here, right? So let's slow down for a second. So the Lord tells you to be wise, and that your only work, we read before, is to keep your mind on Christ, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. No matter what you read, that is what the Lord calls you to do. That's the yoke of Christ that is easy and light, keeping your mindfulness on Christ, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's where your eye is. Right, established there, we're good, right? So then he says, that's what being wise is, right? Growing in the wisdom of Christ. And then he says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So here's what he says. And that's why he mentions the will of God before. When the will of God is being done in your life, your days are fruitful. That's called redemption of time, right? When you are drunk with wine, that means that you're looking at the things of this world, right? And even though you may open up your Bible and you read and you find out who you are in Christ, you put it down, you walk away, and you get drunk on the things that are in this world, which makes you what? Wine. Many times before we've talked about it a little bit, that it's forgetting, right? Forgetting. If you're drunk with wine, you're distracted from this life, and you're thinking about what? You're thinking, you're distracted by this life, and you forget what kind of person you are, right? He who beholds the perfect law of liberty, looks at it in a mirror. Right? You're looking at a mirror and you're seeing the glory of Christ and you're saying, Lord, that's who you've made me. You've made me like your Son. I have Jesus on the inside of me. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And then you put it down and you get caught in the things of the world, right? Forgetting who you are, your time is not redeemed. Your time becomes a waste of time. Your time becomes a waste of time. So he said, the Lord, is what he's doing is admonishing us and saying, the days are evil, time needs to be redeemed. How? By my will being done in it. By my will being done in it. And so knowing that, watch what he says. See then that you walk circumspectly. In other words, diligently. Walk, understanding where you're going, right? You're walking with a purpose. You understand why you're alive. You know that it's Christ that's in you, that's living and wants to live through you. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, as people who don't know Jesus, as people who don't know what's going on, that people that I have not shared my heart with, right? So don't walk around as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time or making the most of your time because we're living in evil days. Wherefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? Your fruitfulness, right? What is the will of God for our lives? Fruitfulness. We can get distracted with the hows of how we're going to do something, right? God calls you to do something, and people get distracted with how am I going to do it, Lord, right? God called Moses to do something, right? What does he get caught up in? The hows. Lord, I can't speak. Lord, you have to send somebody with me. Lord, what are you going to do? So he begins to question everything. The Lord calls you to do something, but isn't calling you by your flesh and by your talent to do it, right? God doesn't call talented people. God calls the weak to shame the wise, right? God doesn't call talented people. God doesn't call people that know how to speak Chinese to Chinese nations and calls people who know how to speak Spanish to Spanish nations, right? And if as long as you got strengths, God's going to use your strength for His glory. Listen, the strength of men don't bring glory to God. The weakness of men brings glory to God because in our weakness, He's made strong. So even though men would like to think that in their strengths, God is glorified, that's not true. And men have always known that, right? Men are glorified in the strengths of men. And God is glorified in the strength of God. So what does He say? What does He say to us? Be fruitful. Be fruitful because He says, as you are fruitful, my Father is glorified, Jesus said. If you bear much fruit, my Father is glorified, he says. So look at what we're saying. Wherefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine, right? Distracted with the things of this world, right? Oblivious to what the Lord is saying. Don't be drunk with this wine, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In other words, hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. How many times has the Lord said that? That we would hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to His church, right? That we would hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And look at what He says. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know what the word filled is? And it's funny because I thought many times, and probably many of us grew up in charismatic churches, right? And in a charismatic church, they talk much about the filling of the Spirit, right? And it is right, that we ought to be filled with the Spirit. And that's a continual thing. That's not something that He says, oh, just take, you know, get filled up once and you're good, right? But be being filled, right? Be being filled, a continuous thing. But here's where it goes wrong, right? People think that you're filled, supposedly, right? Filled with the Spirit to do one thing and then it's kind of gone. And then you get empty and you got to get another hit again so that you can go off and do what God wants you to do again. But that's not how He works, right? The Lord says, be filled with the Spirit. You know what the filled word there means? Fully, fully, fully furnished. Fully furnished. Fully furnished. Who is the only one that can bring the will of God to pass? Only the Spirit of God can bring the will of God to pass. So He's talking about, look at what He says, don't be drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled or furnished, let me give you another word, right? Supplied by the Spirit. When Paul was in prison, what did he say? This too will work out, right? This too will work out. Why? Because of the supply of the Spirit. This too will work out, right? For the glory of God, by the supply of the Spirit. So what is it that he's saying, right? What is it that he's saying? He said, don't live your life like someone who doesn't know. But live your life like someone who knows Christ, who has fixed his eyes or her eyes on the Lord Jesus, right? Fix your eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith, following Him, right? Being a disciple of Christ. But then he says, right? Be filled with the Spirit, which is be supplied by the Spirit. Don't try to walk in the will of God with your strength. walk in the will of God, right? By the supply of the Spirit. So here's all it is. If the Lord is telling us that what we're to do is to put our faith in Jesus Christ, the wall of Jericho came down by what? Faith, right? Rahab was called out because of her faith. The Noah's Ark was built by faith in Jesus, right? Abraham waited and Isaac was born by what? Faith in Jesus. All of the things that have been done by men of God have all been done by faith in Jesus. Every single one of us want to see the will of God come to pass in our life. Every single one of us want the will of God in our bodies. Every single one of us want the will of God in our health. We could pray, Lord, your will be done. If you didn't feel good, right? And you said, Lord, your will be done in my body. Just like it is in heaven. There's no sick people in heaven, right? There's no sickness in heaven. So you want it to be done, his will, right here, just like it is there, right? And he lives on the inside of you and the kingdom is within you. So isn't it awesome to be able to see, for you to say, Lord, let your will be done, Father, in me. And you begin to focus on the Lord and who he is to you and what he's done for you, right? And you're growing in the knowledge of him. The will of God then effortlessly gets done by the Spirit of God and not by us, right? Listen, Moses was not sitting around in a desert in Midian, right, asking God to please use him. The Lord went up to him, spoke to him, and used him. Told him that he would do it, that he would bring the people out, right? And he sent him, and the Lord was the one that did it, right? See, we don't have to knock down the doors of heaven, right, for the Lord to move. The Lord is more than willing to move when he lives on the inside of you. The only problem is that many times men get in the way of what he wants to do. Why? Because men want to bring the will of God to pass. And even though they may be good intended, even though men may want to do things because of their love that they have for people, because people love people, right? Christians love people. And that's awesome, right? But the only thing is, for us to try to bring it to pass, flesh just gives birth to flesh. And spirit now, on the other hand, gives birth to life, right? So whenever you want to help someone, it's life that you want to give them. Whenever you want to do something for anyone, it's life that you want to give them. When your baby is sick, what you want is life to be in them, right? Our care and our worry and our doing our motherly duties is not fixing what needs to be fixed. But faith in Jesus can fix that baby's life, right? So it's not about us trying to do our earthly best. It's not about looking to heaven and saying, well, Father, I've tried my best. Now, since I've tried my best, you're probably impressed with that. So now you do your part, right? God's not impressed with fleshly attempts, right? All he's saying is walk in wisdom, which is to walk in the knowledge of Christ. And then he says so simply this, cast all your care upon me. Cast all your care upon me because I care for you. You know what happens? And people have said this, you know, I think in the right context many times, that casting all your care is sort of like you cast your care over on the Lord, right? I'm not going to worry about it anymore. So why do people say that? Because that's correct, right? If you cast your care off on the Lord, you're not going to worry about it anymore. But what does that mean? That we're going to be irresponsible and that we don't care if it happens anyway. We're just going to be irresponsible and walk away from it and leave people hurting, right? That's not it. We want it done. We just cast the care over on the Lord. Why do we do that? Because here's what we always have known. We can't do it, but God can. So all the Lord has been saying and teaching us, right, is what? Then let me do it. Let me do it through you, right? Let me bring my will to pass through you, like I have brought the will of God to pass through men for ages. God has been doing that through men that would do one thing, right? That they would just put their faith in Jesus and that's it. Faith alone, right? Faith alone, not effort, not goodwill, not good feelings, not good sentiments, just faith alone in Jesus, right? Let's go ahead and let's pray. That's good. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you, my Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that all that we have ever asked, Lord, all that we have ever asked, Lord, is that we know, Lord Jesus, that you always want people, Lord, that will hear you, Lord. Not hear men, not hear doctrines and teachings, Lord, but that they would hear, that your sheep would hear your voice. That your sheep would hear your voice. So we thank you, Jesus, that your sheep know your voice. And the voice of the shepherd is the gospel. The voice of the shepherd is the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. The good news about Jesus Christ. So I just praise you and I thank you, Lord. I praise you and I thank you, Father, for the things that you're doing, that you desire to do in our lives, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we are not desiring to limit you in the things that you want to do in our lives, Lord, because of our age, because of how old we are, Father, or where we come from, or our economic situation. We thank you, Lord, that you are not limited in our life because of the area that we live in. You're not limited by demographics. You are not limited by an economy. You are not limited by anything, Lord. Even if we were in the middle of a wilderness, your will would be done. Water would come out of rocks, Father. If we needed to go through, Lord, an ocean, the waters would be split and we would walk through on dry ground. Father, thank you, Lord, that you are not limited by the things of this world, Lord, but we just thank you, Father, that we can limit you, Lord, in our lives. We can limit what you desire to do in our lives, Lord, when we are just always trying to attempt to bring your will to pass. Father, it's such a simple prayer that you taught us, Lord. Such a simple prayer that you showed us, Lord, but we do pray it and we declare it tonight. Father, your will be done. Your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Father, in this body, in this life, as it is in heaven. In our families, Lord. In our families, as it is in heaven. Lord, we don't have to drop hints. We don't have to say certain things to bring your will to pass in our family. We don't have to say clever words and use the word of God deceitfully in order to bring your will to pass and with trickery, Father. But we thank you, Lord, that with our mouth shut, you shut the mouth of John the Baptist's father. You shut his mouth so that your will could be done. You shut his mouth so your will could be done, Father. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we could keep our mouth closed and you can bring your will to pass, Lord. And if we have anything to say, we can be quick to speak the words of God. We can be quick to speak words of faith. As faith, Lord, speaks, it is in our heart and it is in our mouth, the word of faith which we preach, Lord. The word of faith which is spoken, my God. That we would not speak doubt, Lord. That we would not speak worldly things, Lord, about our children, about our families. That we would not speak, my Father, and think, Lord, that symptoms and things have to progress, Lord, just as the world said they would. Just as the world said it would. That's how it's going to happen. But we thank you, my Father, that it is as you will. We desire your will to be done, Father. Not what the world says, but what you say. And we thank you, my God, that we don't have to try to figure out what you're going to do, but we know your will. Those are two separate things. I pray that you hear that tonight. I pray that you hear that tonight. When God asks you to understand his will, he's not asking you to figure out what he's going to do. He's asking you to figure what it is that he wants for you. What is the burden that he's put on you for you to do? And we know that it's easy, and we know that it's light, and we know that it's called a yoke, and we know that it is learning him. Learn of me, he said, because I am lowly and gentle at heart. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we put aside all else. Lord, as your word declares, my Father, we forget all else except Christ Jesus and him crucified. We put all else aside except Christ Jesus and him crucified.
And that concludes our segment for today. This message was recorded at Harvest Family Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Family Church meets at 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, and 7 p.m. on Fridays. You can get more information about HFC online at bringingintheharvest.org, or you can call us at 845-295-4560. Thank you for listening.